What's up, everybody? Here at the BuzzFeed Radio, doing my podcast today. Here to talk about why realtors talk so much. No, I'm just kidding, but they really do. And I think I'm doing this podcast just because I'm trying to work on my articulation, working on my expressiveness as far as thoughts go. So I joined a Toastmasters due to Brian Lee, who works for Coldwell Banker. Highly recommend him as a realtor. Great guy. He used to wait tables just like me at the Ritz-Carlton and then transitioned into real estate. And now he's doing better than he's ever done, I think, in his life. He's got a nice Benz. He's got customized plates that say Thrive, because Thrive is actually the title of his book he's writing, and it's how to thrive in life. He's kind of one of my heroes, I think, just because he wakes up at 3 in the goddamn morning. That's craziness. That early in the morning to wake up, my brain is not functioning at that time. I'm doing deep REMs at that time. But that's what time he wakes up, does some yoga, does some prayer meditation, goes in, answers some emails, gets to the pool, does a lot of swimming for about an hour. And then he gets started with his day around 7, 8 a.m. And he's already got his workout in. He's got his mind straight. Man, if I could do that, I would be so successful. I set up a schedule for myself, and it's been really challenging to stick to it. But I want to wake up at 5 a.m. I want to do some stretching, a little yoga, align my thoughts, do some positive affirmations, do some meditation, then go have some breakfast, listen to some Tom Ferry, get pumped up for the day, and then get some exercise, because that's always important in the morning, and then go about my day, and at 9, start making calls, answering emails, sending out Facebook, and that's the beginning of my day. I mean, it gets more challenging as the day goes on, but I haven't been able to stick to that schedule at all. It's terrible integrity on my point, but gonna do it. So the Toastmasters has been interesting for me. I always like public speaking. I like how it gets your heart racing. And I've gotten much better at public speaking, but I've had some horrendous speeches in the meantime. I think my speech number 4, I decided to do like a comedy special where I wrote down all my one-liners and busted them out for 7 minutes straight. And by the 6-minute mark, I thought people were literally going to yank me off the stage with a big hook and cane. But they didn't, and I addressed that at that point in the speech and said, I know you think it's almost over, but I still have one more minute. And I just blasted them with one-liners. So the responses I got, when people, at the end of your speech, people write little comments to you, and they weren't very pleasant. One lady wrote, I'm offended. Another guy wrote, I feel like I need to take a shower after listening to that speech. Another guy wrote, you took a chance, I'm not sure it paid off. But talking to a girl I really respect, this mom, she's a great public speaker, in the hallway, I said, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. And she laughed and said, that was memorable. And then the next speech she gave me a shout out and said, even if you bomb, you come back and you continue to work on your public speaking. And I'm looking at you, Chris, because you bombed and came back. And that was a big lesson to me in life, because sometimes we bomb, sometimes we blow it, sometimes it doesn't come out the way we thought it was, and we offend people, or we get the negative comments that we're always scared shitless to hear. But we come back. And the next speech was all right, and I kind of used that as a springboard and addressed all the comments that I got and got people laughing. And then my next speech, I was terrified because I'd already received the negative criticism that we always fear, because we think everyone doesn't like us, but we don't know that to be true. Well, I actually got negative comments and people didn't like me, so it was really hard to get over that hump. But once I did, it was a testament to the courage and strength that I had, the inner resolve to push forward and give a good speech. And my last speech I gave was about persistence, and it's something that I need in my life always, as everyone does. But as far as my real estate career, I definitely need that, because this isn't a sprint. It's a marathon with real estate. I'm 31 years old, and I'm only getting better at my profession at this point. But it was funny, in my last speech I started off with, "You want to be the best version of yourself." And I said virgin instead of version, and everyone thought it was hilarious. I'm like, I'm not even trying to be funny in this speech. God damn it. But it was hilarious because I recovered from it. And that's what you got to do with public speaking. You just got to go with the flow. I totally respect calculated public speakers like Tony Robbins and Tom Ferry and Brian Buffini. Those are all real estate coaches. But yeah, public speakers and Gary Vee, he's a great one. Sometimes they drop F-bombs, and I think that's a way that they shock your memory taking ability, because sometimes you're zoning off, but when you get like a real shock of like a big F-bomb that's typically not used in a public speaking forum, then it shocks your system. You're like, well, what does this guy have to say? And Tony Robbins and Gary Vee both do that pretty good. Yeah, there was one guy in my Toastmasters that recently shared about, and it brought up for me that when I'm surfing and I'm focusing on the other people in the lineup, and I'm lining up with them and not just focusing on the waves, and I'm surfing like shit, but as soon as I just focus on the waves and forget about the people, that's when the best side of my surfing comes out. And that's interesting. I thought it could definitely be translated to my work environment, whatever that may be, whether I'm serving tables or I'm selling real estate. If I'm focused on just the task at hand and the job that needs to be accomplished and doing the best I can and just taking in all those elements and not so focused on the personalities and the people that affect me on a daily basis, then I can do the best job I possibly can. And I think that was a really powerful lesson I learned in Toastmasters last week, and I shared about it. I was only the awe counter, the Wizard of Oz. I count anyone who's saying, and. But I just shared on that because I thought it was a valuable point that I'm going to probably take with me for the rest of my life. And that was all from just sitting through one guy's speech. And every Toastmasters I go to, I get to hear three invaluable speeches that should amp us up. And I learned that stand-up comedy has no place in Toastmasters besides, well, the place it does have is on stage in a comedy club. And that would have been a perfect venue for my 7 minutes of one-liners. So you live and you learn. You make mistakes. I'm young, energetic, and full of piss and vinegar. So sometimes it kind of blows up in my face, but that's the way you learn. And you got to not be so weighed down by the negative consequences and instead move forward and learn from your lessons. I watched Gary Vanderbilt the other day, and he was doing this speech. It was a seminar on social media because that's his specialized platform. He sees a lot of trends as they come. He saw Uber that was going to wipe out the taxi and luxury car before it even happened. He invested in Uber fat. Now he's rolling. He saw AdWords before it was even a thing, and he invested, I think, all his money into that early on. And I think he was buying it at like 5 cents a click, and it made his business boom. And now he's talking about Snapchat, which I don't even use. I literally thought Snapchat was just for receiving naked selfies or something like that. So I kind of strayed away from it. Now I'm realizing there's business sense in being on Snapchat, and you get a lot of followers that way, a lot of eyes on whatever you're trying to sell. And that was kind of what he was trying to say, is that it's a people's attention. And one of the valuable things that he brought up was that commercials nowadays on TV, no one wants to watch commercials in our current state of affairs. No one. Everyone wants to fast forward through them. And if they can't fast forward through them because it's not on TiVo, where do they go during commercials? Right to the palm of their hand where their phone is resting. And then they look at their phone during commercials. And that's exactly what consumers do. And to have that kind of fortuitous thought process on where our attentions are going to be is huge. And that's what he's doing. So he says the next big trend, Facebook Live. He said one guy got 4 listings off one Facebook Live thread at an open house that no one even showed up at. But he was Facebook Live-ing there. So how that's working, I have no idea, but I'm ready to jump on the Gary V train and ride that off into, because that's where I'm really going to get better at is technology, because I'm a millennial. I've studied web design, graphic design. I have a huge background in that, and I think that's one of my strengths as a realtor is that I'm a media publicist. I mean, I publish media, I publish flyers, I publish online, I publish everything that's needed in order to sell a house, and that's where a majority of people's attention is going nowadays. Gary Vee also brought up that if your website isn't mobile, you're pretty much shooting yourself in the foot nowadays. So I looked at my website, loeswick.com, and it was not mobile. There was a break in the links of the CSS, so the styles weren't coming up, so it was all broken links practically. So I instantly invested a small chunk of change and got mine mobile friendly, and it was just this. It only took about 3 hours, but it was a huge moment where I was like, okay, I'm not keeping up with the trends, and I need to. So now my website's mobile-friendly and looks really good. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the debates. I thought that was really interesting, and actually, I was more interested in how many eyes were on the debates, and they got the numbers in. It was 84 million. 84 million. I thought Joe Rogan's podcast got a lot in 3 million views, but the national debates for the presidential nominees got 84 million. I thought they'd be running commercials like it was a Super Bowl, but it was 2 hours of no commercials. I didn't think that was possible in our nation's history with being a capitalistic society. I thought people would be running commercials nonstop, but it was cool. It was cool to see one presidential candidate who was a career politician and another one who was a career entertainer and businessman go at it head to head. Hillary was obviously more prepared than Trump was, and it showed because Trump's diction and vocabulary paled in comparison to Hillary's political vocabulary. I like that Trump made up a word, an adverb, Bingley. He used that nicely. It was interesting that she was attacking him on not paying contractors in New York when he was building up big hotels and then bankrupting them by taking them to court, because I've heard that over time. That's the usual business practice of Trump. And that's not very appealing. That's not very American. But that's how you get ahead in business sometimes. You take out the small guys. And I don't think I'd ever want to be that type of businessman. I always pay the contractors that work for me. And I never want to have more credit than I have. I don't want to be over-leveraged. I don't want to owe people more than I have in the bank. So the debate I thought was going to be more entertaining because I thought Trump was going to fly off the handles. But the funniest thing he did was over and over again, he kept going, wrong, wrong. And I thought that was pretty funny because his little mouth puckered up like a fish. I was laughing about that. But Hillary looked good. She looked youthful. She got her hair done. She got her highlights in. Her hair didn't move whatsoever the entire debate because it was probably so hairsprayed in, and she held herself. I think she felt like it was shooting fish in a barrel. I saw Trump digging himself in a bigger and bigger hole, and Hillary over there laughing. I think she was having the best time, and she really stuck it to him when she brought up the fact that he called a Latino Miss Housekeeping of the Year with the and then said that woman now is a U.S. citizen, and you bet she's going to be voting this year. And who's she going to vote for? I thought that was a great point on her part. And then she brought up the not paying contractors and not paying his income tax and not giving up his income for or his tax return for 2015, I thought was an interesting point, because every president in our United States history has done that except him. So he's hiding something, right? But what he's hiding is not paying taxes. And he goes, that's just because I'm smart. But he's actually sliding Uncle Sam, who he's going to be working for if he becomes president, the American people. And we need that kind of money for infrastructure, for healthcare, for Social Security. And if you're sliding us a $650 million income, not paying taxes on that, well, that's pretty non-American of you. Like, good for you if you're a big corporation and don't want to pay taxes. But the little men in the middle class, like me, we're paying over a third of our income in taxes. That's money we can't put towards rent. It's money we can't put towards groceries. That goes straight in Uncle Sam's pocket. So if you're smart for not paying that, and what does that make us middle class people that have no other option than to pay taxes, make us dumb? No, we're just caught in the rat race. And it was an interesting point in the debate. So enough of that, the debate. I did an open house Twilight tour last night. Didn't go that well. I only got one couple who I influenced to come there because they lived on my street right around the corner I grew up on. It was great talking with them for over an hour about real estate. I guess Patrick Ryan, who's a big realtor here in Half Moon Bay, has got them over like four or five houses over their lifetime. So kudos to Patrick. That guy's the man. But anyways, Twilight tours don't really go that well in Half Moon Bay, honestly. It's tough. I was sitting there, I was going on Facebook Live, I was making videos, I had some crispy grapes, I had some wine open. I marketed all day, I door knocked, I dropped off flyers, I bumped it up on the MLS, and it doesn't seem like Twilight tours are that popular in Half Moon Bay, to be perfectly honest. I think it's more of the weekend open houses and tours that do a lot better. So, just lesson learned. But I did door knock the neighborhood, and that was funny because some people would answer, and if they were like a 79, 80-year-old woman, they talked my ear off for 20, 25 minutes, which is cool. I like talking to people, but I also needed to pass out the rest of the 60 flyers that I printed out. So it was interesting. I wish I would have taken some pictures with those women because they were classic. Great neighborhood. Those are great leads in the future. I think they probably will be selling. I went to my old stomping grounds at the Ono Hawaiian Grill, which is now just a Chinese restaurant right around the corner in Miramar. And I walked through the restaurant to drop off some flyers, and it smelt exactly the same way it used to when I used to work there as a kid when I was 19, 20 years old. And it's just so interesting. It brought back a lot of memories. That olfactory nerve stimulates memory parts of the brain that just light up completely. And I remember those days because that was the hardest I think I've ever worked when I got kicked out of college and had to come back and pay off like $20,000 in debt. And I worked from sun up to sundown, as I said. Not really sun up because I'd wake up around 9, get in the restaurant at 10, start cleaning, sweeping the doorstep, and just work all day till we closed the restaurant at 11. And that was great time in my life because the restaurant really wasn't run professionally at that point. The owner was kind of missing in action. So each night he'd tell me, take the cash drop home, you're fine. Be like 12:50, and at the end of like a 14-day stint, I'd have like almost 20 grand in my little drawer. And he'd be like, okay, we need that cash. You know, bring it by? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll get the cash drop. So I was like 19, 20 years old. That was a great restaurant. I wish I could bring something like that back. I think the Silver Star Grill did a really good job of bringing back like the Ono buckets and that kind of small town good food vibe. Yep, the Ono Hawaiian Grill. I went next door to Darren Bingham's shop, the Half Moon Bay Board Shop, and talked with him for a while. That was good too because Darren was one of the first persons to ever sponsor me for my surfing when I was super young, like 12, 13, 14, let me work in the shop and like got me my first Soul Life surfboards and got me hooked up with Billabong, me and Spinardi and Aaron. So cool, man. So it's good to go back there and see that the shop's still thriving. But anyways, last night, yeah, just really try to grind it out, the Twilight Tour, and just try to look fear in the face and just do it. Because door knocking is actually probably one of the most frightening things that a realtor has to do, because it's just so awkward to knock on people's doors in this day and age. You feel like, who knows how pissed off the people are going to be, but people are never really that pissed. Some people want to talk, some people don't. You just respect that. But it's much better than sitting at a desk all day. That's for darn sure. I don't think I have that personality to sit at a desk 8 hours a day. I don't think our human bodies were designed for 8 hours of sitting per day. They need to walk around. They need to get the blood flowing. So being a realtor is a great job for me. Just going to keep cracking at it as long as the money keeps coming in. I definitely love my condo I bought. And the HOA has been doing really good. They've been painting all the floors on the decks, been keeping it really updated, paving everything. It's awesome. What a gift. And I really try to like bring the neighborhood together by throwing barbecues, inviting everyone, and sending out flyers. Hey, this is me. I can help you with real estate. But what I really like is just having a better kinship with my neighbors, because I've always had that. Growing up when I was in Hawaii going to school, I had great neighbors there. Still keep in contact with those people. And yeah, I want the same thing, especially because I bought now and I'm an owner there. So I want to keep those relationships as good as possible, right? This morning I walked out with my cell phone playing. I was playing some old school Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I walked by an next door neighbor who was coming in from getting her mail. And she says, "That's a good song." I said, "Cool." I'm glad I wasn't playing some like Andre Nicotina rap or something. I'm glad you actually agree with it. Oh, that's what we're always looking for, right? People's approval. So I went to the luau last weekend for the high school surf team, which I always try to show up for, because when I was on the high school surf team, I think I was on one of the first ones. It was really ragtag, and we just put it together, and parents drove us down south to compete against Hawaii and Southern California, and to see it grow to the level it's at right now, where we're raising $20,000 at one luau, is pretty darn amazing. The silent auction was awesome. The prizes offered in the raffle were great. There was live music. Richard from Miramar, good food, cooked up the most phenomenal dinner I've had at a barbecue in a long time. Man, the chicken melted in your mouth. It was really great quality meat. They had pork, steak, all kinds of different salads, nice sweet rolls. Oh, it was amazing. And they didn't do it on paper plates. They brought really nice, clear, heavy glass plates, because Richard, after all, is a professional caterer. So I thought that was a nice. And then all the kids cleared the tables. I even stepped up and started clearing plates, because kind of miss serving, haven't done it for since March. Not really. I don't miss it that much, but I will go back one of these days, because the Ritz-Carlton has been really good to me, and I like working there. But so luau was great. We raised a ton of money for the surf team. Gene Lindsay is now the middle school surf coach. Huge shout out to Gene. And I think it's going to be a great one, because his kid's super passionate about surfing now. I see a little Grom show up the beach every day and go out and rip it. So that's fun. You have your kid on the middle school surf team. You're the head coach. It's like a dream for a surfer, you know. It's a lot of work, though. Definitely a lot of work doing that kind of volunteer work and organizing the events and sending out emails. So I definitely want to try to help out more with the high school and middle school surf team this year, because that's just amazing. We have that in this community, and we used to never have it 10, 15 years ago, and now it's just booming, and it's cool to watch the kids grow up as the years goes on, because I've been volunteering on that thing for, I don't know, maybe 7 years, and man, those kids that were in high school at the time are now all grown up and going to college. And it's pretty amazing to watch them transition and watch their surfing grow, because a lot of them have been going out to Mavs and dominating out there, like Michael Joshua, and you know, Austin really rips now. He's been surfing one of my old boards for like the last 2 years or something, and he's just killing it on that old Lost. Amazing, those boards last for that long and are so rippable still. Makes me think, why'd I get rid of that board? But I like having new sticks under my feet at all times. I got a couple new boards, but I can't surf them yet because I'm not surfing. Because my knee, MCL injury, and then I got foot surgery. So I've gone 5 months without selling real estate, but I've accrued an amazing amount of knowledge, and I just say, just keep building your knowledge around finance and housing. I went to Vegas for a huge seminar for Tom Ferry coaching. You know, I went to Santa Barbara and Long Beach for a Buffini coaching, and that was great. Saw Magic Johnson speak, and man, went to the Ore Hot Springs up north, did some meditation, chilled at the hot springs. Gorgeous. It's better than a massage, I feel like. Went to Yuba River with the family. Just chilled up there. That was great. And over this past 5 months, I transitioned into Alon Pinnell Realtors, which has been really challenging to reset up all my systems. But now that they're set up, I feel in a much better place than I ever was with Avant. And I'm around some high-caliber realtors, which I'm just soaking up as much as I can. Every week I go to this thing called a master's class where all the realtors meet up and we talk about what's working, what's not. And that's what I've always wanted, is just accountability groups and people in the same step of their realty career as I am to have around me and build up. And then I have weekly coaching for free from Alon Pinnell. So it's been pretty killer. And I just keep growing my knowledge. I'm going to something called Bold next week, where I'm going to be in a seminar all day long from 9 to 5, just learning how to better grow my network and be a better realtor because I'm so passionate about it. So that's good. Right now I'm refinancing my house in order to pay off my PMI. If you don't know what PMI is, it's basically insurance against your mortgage. So that if your mortgage goes through, PMI will is your insurance that'll pick that mortgage bill up for you in case you don't pay your mortgage. And I had to do it because I only put 10% down on my condo for $605,000 because $120,000 is a lot of money. So right now I'm refinancing, and if the rate, which I got 4.25 right now, if I can get a 3.65 rate, which everyone says I can get, then that difference in interest could pay off my PMI, which would be great because it would then save me around $300, $400 a month on my mortgage. Having a mortgage for the past, 10 months now has been an eye-opening experience. Yeah, that's where all my money goes. Every month, it's all about making my bottom line to pay off my mortgage. Yikes, owning a house is a big responsibility. So if this doesn't work out, I don't get my PMI off this time, I'm going to try to get my house, my condo, appraised at the end of the year. And hopefully it appraised for much more than I bought it, which I think it will. And pull out an equity line and pay off my PMI. So that should be really great. I'm going towards it. It's a goal of mine. I may not accomplish it, but I'm learning a whole lot. And I think that's the story of life, is that if you go towards something, you learn along the way. And even if it doesn't accomplish something at the end, you've learned something that you can apply to later down the line. And that's what Gary Vee said. And I took that to heart as far as his presentation went, because that happens in life. You put a lot of effort in towards something and then it doesn't quite accomplish exactly what you wanted. And at the end, you learn something from it, and then it gets pushed towards that next goal that you're trying to accomplish, and you look more knowledgeable because of it. Like for me, getting a communications degree, I studied web design and graphic design, and that has helped me greatly in my real estate career because it's all about web-based marketing and paper-based marketing, printing out your flyers, designing them so that they're pleasing to the eye, picking the right colors. So I totally understand that. And I'm glad I did that in college and failed at a few things designing websites for surfboard shapers and surf shops and stuff like that. And with my personal training, I'm glad I did that too, because it gave me a gift of health for the rest of my life. Even though I'm pretty hard on my body because I work out every day, I'm glad I have that as an option to work out every day, because it changes your whole mindset each day. It makes you a more productive individual and a happier person in the long run, because that's serotonin and endorphins that get flowing in your head is what it's all about. If you don't have enough of that, you're a miserable person. I can attest to that because I've been there when I can't get enough exercise. But that's basically what I wanted to talk about this week. And it's kind of odd that I don't even have a guest this week, but I just wanted to get the podcast cranking again, because I listen to so many podcasts nowadays and I feel like I have a lot to express and a lot to give back to society in my voice. And I want to start working on my voice because I'm a realtor. That's what we do. We talk. So I appreciate you listening this week, and I hope to have a guest next week and come out with some more great compilations of knowledge and experiences in life. And I really give it up to Michelle Dragony for providing the studio and pushing me to do my podcast, because it's kind of terrifying to get your voice out there and do this. But hey, it's pretty fun to talk.
Chris Loswick,
I'm out with that. Thank you.
Start to listen to Just Call Wick. Wick. We talk about surfing, the coast side, real estate, comedy, what's going on in the world, all of the above. In this day and age, no one even has conversations anymore.